still and know. Be still and know that I am God. This has been one of those verses over my life that has been so powerfully and so beautifully spoken by God to me, particularly in times of pain and confusion. You know, we all have those moments where life catches us off guard and where we're trying to take control to no avail. Moments where everything's going as expected and then suddenly it all flips on its head. You get that phone call. You get that knock on the door. Your stomach drops, your palms sweat, everything is shaking in that moment. So I was about 21 when I had a knock on the door. I was at my parents' home at the time, and they had gone out for a bike ride, as they normally did, and then there was that knock on the door. So I went out to the front door thinking that it would just be them home wanting me to put up the garage door so they could get the bikes inside. But it was my eldest brother. He was standing there, and he was white as anything. Mum had been in a bike accident, and she'd been taken to hospital by ambulance. So in that moment, we had no idea how bad it was. We just knew that it was bad enough that she had been immediately taken to hospital. And yet it was in this moment again that I so clearly heard that whisper, no matter what, no matter what, be still and know that I am God. So we raced to the hospital, and thankfully she was fine. She was completely battered and bruised from head to toe, but she was fine. And the funny side of it is my brother, he's a doctor, and so we both arrived. He saw Mum, and he went into medical mode, checked her over, read through her notes, looked at the doctors, talked to them. I looked at Mum, and the next thing I remember was waking up in the bed next to her. And I got admitted as well. Now I know that, where are you, Nige? Nige can relate. So last Monday, Sue had to go back into hospital, and in the car park, I believe, Nige tripped over and ended up being admitted to ED as well. So we're just both high on empathy, Nigel. It's okay. So these moments, we all face these moments where our world spins and our heart races, and yet it's in these moments that we need to be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that I am God, even though being still is the last thing we feel like doing. You know, when things go out of control, we either go into fight mode or flight mode. We either try and take control and organize things and get ready to get our battle gear on, or we flee. And we go into this, what's the word? We hide away, that sort of thing. Be still and know. So there are two parts today that we're going to be looking at. The first is to be still. What does that mean? And the second part is to know. What does it mean to know God? So let's start with be still. The Hebrew word for still, used in Psalm 46 verse 10, is rapha, which means to sink down, to relax, to let go of. Often this is the last thing we want to do when the world is spinning and we feel like we have no control. When we can't control a situation, that's where fear can creep in, and it often does. We need the peace of knowing that God works on our behalf at all times. So how do we learn to be still and know when facing our biggest challenges? Well, Mary, Lazarus' sister, had one of those moments, didn't she, when everything was standing still and spinning at the same time. She felt out of control. Let's pick up the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from verse 20, John 11, verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives in me, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? "Yes, Lord," she said, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into this world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly, immediately, and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" So what does this teach us? Firstly, be still and know means to be calm and believe that God is indeed God. Then she, Martha, returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. You know, at some point in our lives, we will all experience that deep pain of loss. We understand the pain that Mary and Martha felt that day. The two sisters were mourning over the tragic passing of their brother Lazarus, who was also a dear friend of Jesus. When Jesus came to see them, Martha ran out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Now, it doesn't give us a clear reason as to why Mary stayed. Maybe she thought that Jesus' arrival wouldn't make a difference, it was too late. Or maybe she simply didn't know that Martha did, that Jesus had approached. Whatever the reason, we know this for certain. When Martha told Mary that Jesus wanted to see her, she went to him immediately. In the midst of her mourning, she still held on to hope. You know, we don't always know the outcome of our situations and the challenges we face, but it's important in those times to remind ourselves of what we do know. We do know that God is in control. We do know that he hears our prayers. And we do know that he answers them, even though it's not always the way we expect or hope. Running straight to Christ, like Mary did, will help us hold on to the hope that can be only found through our relationship with him. The second thing I believe this piece of scripture teaches us is that to be still and know means to be untroubled and trust God will do what he says. Be still and know means to be untroubled and trust God will do what he says. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." If only. If only. I think we're all guilty of using that if only card. But the problem with the if only trap is that even though it shows that even though that we believe who God is, it reveals that we don't trust what he can actually do. Mary fell into the if only trap when she saw Jesus that day. Her sorrow hadn't subsided, and that full emotion poured out, "If only you had been here." Her words indicate that she knew Jesus was capable of healing Lazarus. She even thought if he had been here, that Lazarus wouldn't have died. So why didn't she trust him enough to believe he could still answer her? Why is it so hard for us to trust God in our most difficult circumstances, particularly when it's been going on for too long? We have a situation that quickly arises, we believe God, and we want to see that instant healing or that instant miracle. God is the God of miracles over all time. He's outside of time. So even a situation that's been going on for years and years and years, a broken relationship that was broken decades ago, he can still fix. A diagnosis that happened years and years and years ago from birth even, he can still fix. We need to believe that God can do what he says he can do. Exodus 14:14 reminds us of God's desire to receive our burdens and fight our battles for us. It says, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Still, Rapha, let go, relax, weaken your hold. But in those times when darkness seems to envelop us, we wrestle with giving the control to the only one who has the power to see us through it. Being still and knowing God means moving to a new level of trust, a level that will challenge our faith in the most remarkable ways. And when we push aside those if onlys, when we let go of those if onlys, we will experience his unfailing love like never before. The third thing, be still in God's presence and recognize the depth of his love for us. Rest in God's presence and recognize the depth of his love for us. Then Mary, this is jumping ahead to John 12:3. It says, then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. So soon after raising Lazarus from the dead, so that all the people standing around could see the miraculous work, Jesus left Jerusalem. The Jewish leaders were plotting to kill him, but with Passover celebrations soon approaching, Jesus went to Lazarus' home for a dinner that was being held in his honor. And during the meal, Mary displayed one of the most heartfelt gestures in all of Scripture. Her dedication to her Savior can hardly be described in words. One commentary puts it this way. She presented it as an offering of love and gratitude prompted by Jesus' restoration of her brother to the family circle. Wiping his feet with her hair was a gesture of the utmost devotion and reverence. You know, Mary's unexpected action showed a thankful heart for what Jesus had done for her family and her adoration for who he is. Who he was to her. Embarrassment, we know her Mary story, embarrassment didn't hold her back. Shame didn't hold her back. She lavished her love on Jesus. You know, like Mary, we can find unconditional love by simply being in his presence. Through watching Jesus work miraculously in her life, Mary could now grasp the depth of his love for her, and she learned that being still in his presence, she would know God in a new and intimate way. Which brings us to the second part: be still, let go, relax, refer to release, to know God. What does it mean to know God? The Hebrew word is yada, which means to know intimately, to experience, to encounter. In Matthew 7:23, it says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. The Greek word, so not the Hebrew word, the Greek word used here is gnosko. So of the 946 times that yada is used in the Hebrew Old Testament, over 490 times it is translated into the Greek word gnosko, which is the of the Greek retelling of the Hebrew Old Testament. So gnosko is the major word that is used to replace yada. The Greeks, however, didn't have a word that fully takes the full meaning of yada into their language. The closest term the Greeks had was gnosko. The Greek term predominantly means an intellectual concept, which is not the predominant concept of the word yada. It has been said for the Hebrews that yada is more knowing of the heart than the mind. And the knowing arises not by standing back in order to look at, but by stepping forward and being active and intentional with a lived experience. It thus basically means it's an experiential knowledge. So our modern day understanding of knowing or knowledge is solely an intellectual notion, really, that we gain knowledge through what we're taught, through what we hear, from reading, from thinking about something. Now, this is not to say that yada is not all of that. It's that as well. But the main concept of yada is to know intimately, to experience, to encounter. It's an experientially gained or relationally gained knowledge. So at the beginning of this month, Sean shared a message about great is thy faithfulness. And I apologize for his singing. I really do. But after his message, I had a few people come to me and say, hey, we need to hear your side of the story as to why he said that we both weren't ready. I'm still trying to work out why I wasn't. No, I was. So let me give you a little bit of an insight as to my side of the story. Well, they say that opposites attract. And this is very true for us. Very true in more ways than one. So whilst Sean grew up and moved around here, there and everywhere, I grew up in one place. I grew up in the Mount my whole life. Sean came or comes from a very different family, and I have his permission to say that. I come from a very stable and Christian family and a rich heritage of Christians and pastors. Yet that doesn't mean that his is bad and mine's good, or mine is good and his, or vice versa. We all have our own stories and we all have our own struggles. Just because you may have grown up in the church your whole life does not mean you don't have a testimony. You have a very strong testimony. I remember when I was driving to Salwyn Ridge one day, where I was working at the time, and day after day as a 25-year-old, I thought that was old at the time, I was crying out to God and saying, God, why have you not brought me a husband yet? I've done all the right things. I know lots of people. I've been to the Easter camps and the youth groups, and I know lots of Christian men, but there's just not one that I've fallen in love with. But again, that beautiful whisper came to me, be still and know. Let go. Let go and know me. Know me. You know, at the time, I'd grown up in Christianity. I thought I had what was a great relationship with Jesus, and I did have a great relationship, but I didn't realize it could be even better. It was as a 25-year-old that I began to realize that knowing God wasn't about an intellectual understanding of him. It wasn't even just simply about praying and listening. It goes so much deeper. It went so much deeper. It became this new experience for me of encountering him so intimately. And when that became my posture, when that was just my posture of life, it didn't happen straight away, but a couple of years later, I met Sean, and that was his posture in life as well. And it was a happy ending. Up and down. You know, we can all read the Bible. We can read the commentaries. We can listen to messages and sermons and podcasts. And this is good. This is great. And this is what we should be doing. But so can, hypothetically, someone who doesn't know God. They can read the Bible, they can listen to podcasts, they can look into the history books of biblical times, and they can get an intellectual understanding of who God is too. But faith and belief is not about an intellectual knowing. And when God says, be still and know, when the word know is used 946 times in the Bible, God is telling us to use faith and belief to encounter and experience him in order to know him. We are called believers. We are not called knowers. We need to use faith and belief in order to encounter and to experience him. Be still and know. A beautiful and powerful reminder to relax, to let go, to release the control, and to encounter God, to experience him, to have an experientially gained, a relationally gained understanding, a knowledge of who he is. Rapha and Yadah. You know, as the band play and as we worship, we always open up this space if you would like prayer. You can come for anything. There may be something that I haven't spoken, God's spoken to you during this time, during worship, during just being here, and you would like prayer for something that's just pressing on your heart. We'd love to pray for you. If you feel like something has been going on too long in your life, or too long in your family's life or your situation, whatever it is, it could be an illness or a sickness, it could be a broken relationship. And like Mary, you're feeling like, God, if only, because we feel like that, we all feel like that, God, if only, can you come forward? And we want to pray for you, because God exists outside of time. And he was there and he is there. And he's saying, come and ask me, keep asking me, keep believing, keep trusting, keep asking. Like Mary, we need to leave that shame and embarrassment aside. It's not going to do you any good. Leave the shame, leave the embarrassment behind, and just come to your Father. The third thing I want to pray for this morning is if you are just desiring to know him a little bit more. Your story may be like mine, that you've known God, but maybe you just feel like there's a bit more. Well, there is a bit more. That's the good news. There's always a bit more. Come. If you just are desiring to take your level, the level of your relationship with Jesus even further.